This one thing. It was Paul that wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And in 2 Timothy 1:12 he wrote, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until the day of Christ." While in Philippians 1 verse 6 he said, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." This one thing I do. This one thing. Oh, there is strength in having one single objective, an individual goal, a unique purpose. There is power in having a limited aim, a distinct motivation, a solitary intent in life. Too many Christians suffer from attempting to juggle a variety of purposes, and too many, however, find themselves chasing after diffuse aims or an obscure aspiration. Too many believers allow the weight of past forgiven sins to inhibit their life's purpose without recognizing their position in Christ, a position in Christ that has gained them complete acceptance with God. Too many are imprisoned with buried hurts, hurts which the Spirit alone can identify and heal, hurts which inhibit full fellowship with the Father, hurts which can cloud pure communion with the Lord. But the Apostle Paul here identifies himself as a man with a single aim. He was a man with a definite purpose. This one thing I do. This one thing. One targeted objective in a life is more likely to achieve than fluctuating between two purposes. One purpose has a man's full attention. One motivation has a greater potential of being achieved. This one thing I do. This one thing. So what is this one purpose that the believer should strain after? What is it that the believer should strain for with such determination? What is this single objective which the child of God should so determinedly pursue? Or should it not be to love the Lord with every fibre of our being? Should it not be to love him with such determination as to obey his will from the heart? Should it not be to seek after him in our entire life, in thought and word and deed? Should it not be to spend our life to its very last breath to glorify him? Should it not be to have as our motto, "In Christ and Christ alone"? Oh, and in so doing, we fulfil his new commandment, "Love as I have loved," knowing that love covers a multitude of sins. Oh, but to achieve this, we must renounce altogether some good things in pursuit of the best. We must relinquish some of the urgent things in order to achieve the important. We must lay aside the weights that drag us down and hold us back from this one thing. We must allow the Holy Spirit to circumcise our hearts, our lips, our ears and our motives. We must let him deal with the things within that hinder our best progress towards his best. First, we must forget those things that are past. We must acknowledge that past sins have been forgiven, and he remembers them no more. we must see ourselves as positioned in Christ and seated with him in heavenly places. We must finally stop beating ourselves for the past sins that have been forgiven. Forever forgiven. Oh, remember, child of God, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. None. Second, we must let go of other things that have plagued our past lives. We must empty ourselves of so many buried bitternesses and unforgiveness of the past. We must be healed of pain, pains that have remained entombed for years, hurts that we have addressed and yet occasionally surface at times to bite us like a rabid dog, sins of others that may have impacted our lives through no fault of our own. Oh, remember, child of God, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the one that binds up the broken reed and the smouldering wick, the one that calms the angry outburst, the one that brings wholeness into every part of life. It is only through the cleansing and healing of the Holy Spirit that we can truly forget the past, that we can truly be healed from the past. It is only as we ask him to search our hearts and deal with past hurts that we can be emptied of the hurts, released from their condemnation, freed from their guilt. It is only as he empties us of the past that he can fill us with himself. It is only as we clean out the deep recesses of our mind that he and his love fill that space. It is only as we plead with him to soften our hardened hearts that he will break our hearts into pieces, and he will start to fashion us after the likeness of his own dear Son. I once spent 3 solid weeks, from dawn until dusk, entombed in a little 10th-century church, far away from the hustle and bustle of life, and one by one, little by little, as a deliberate choice of will, I handed over and I forgave many things. Many things were dealt with at that time. Some things needed even deeper surgery from the Spirit of healing. But as we permit him to search out the deep recesses of the heart, he draws us closer to himself. Until with Paul we can say, "This one thing I do, this one thing." Focus on Jesus, oh, loving him with every fibre of your being. Look to Jesus and determine to obey his will from the heart. Seek to know Jesus, that your entire life in thought, word, and deed may glorify him. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining towards what lies ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14.